A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. It's such a privilege to be here, though. To be here, one, because to thank you as for being the Lutheran church of my childhood neighborhood. I grew up just a few blocks away from here and have always had that presence and awareness of Trinity Lutheran Church and many of you as people, and your faithfulness. That faithfulness throughout changing times, the faithfulness throughout changing neighborhoods and all that's happened, even the movement, I said, of Bechera and Corner Grocery, which were our staple paths. And you respond to what's happening. That's the story of Advent. And that's the story of today's readings. And it's the story that I share with you of ministry on the margins. Being faithful, being present, listening to the changing times and the voices, and responding. Here's what happened to me 10 years ago. I'd always been thinking about ministering with the poor, and maybe there was something I could do next door to Walmart at the state penitentiary. And I picked up the phone and I called the chaplain and I said, "Gal, like, geez, maybe do you think there's anything I can do?" And he said, "Yes." And I thought, oops. And I went into the penitentiary that first time in November 2013. And I don't know how many of you have been in prison or not, but if you go in, there are 8 gates that you have to move through. And one opens, you step through, and then it closes before the next one opens. And each one opens and closes. And as I'm moving into those gates, I'm thinking this is a dumber idea than I had thought. And then out of a hallway, this voice goes, "Hey, Sister Kay." And it was a young man I had taught as a third grade student. And those of us who are teachers, we may know somebody's challenged, but you don't expect to see them there. As I went a little further, a guy, large, lot of tattoos, kind of, say, he growled, goes, "Sister." And his dad had been a colleague of mine when I was a professor at the University of Mary. We get into this area where we're going to worship, and a young man comes up and goes, "Oh, Shannon." And Shannon is my niece. And he had dated her and kind of been at family activities, and I went, "Oh, she's so happily married. 3 kids. I'll say hi." And that's what everything within me did at the beginning. And the end of that evening, I walked out, and I went into the car at the prison parking lot, and I wept. I'm not sure exactly why I wept, except I knew that I would never be the same, and that somehow I would keep coming back, and I'm continued to be blessed to come back into the prison, through those gates, with those people. That was the start of Ministry on the Margins. And those tears, it started and began to serve people that were just like all of us, and now we're blessed to be serving 1,200 people a week, growing in that same pattern, simply listening and accepting and responding, listening and accepting and responding to the voices that we hear. Beautiful voices in today's scripture. That first reading from Isaiah. We hear the voice of the child. Tender, not flashy. It's about a baby playing by the cobra's den, a child at peace. It's about a shoot, not a big, strong tree, and just about a gentle little bud, not a full-blossoming poinsettia. That's the voice of the child that leads them. Listening to that voice at ministry, we recognize that children that come to the food pantry are probably not coming from real, happy, lavish experiences at home, because they're needing to rely on someone else for their food and their meals. So when they come to the Ministry on the Margins food pantry, we often have bubbles. Could be for me, but it entertains children of all ages. And one night we had toys. And I looked up, and there was about an 8-9-year-old boy, and he had to show me this toy. And my first thought was, oh no. But he looked and he said, "See this toy? It's a purple stegosaurus. It's missing an eye." That was my oh no. He said, "It's had a hard time, and I have too. That's why I chose it, and we're going to stay together." The support that you give Ministry on the Margins helps us to bring a child driven by their grandparent to visit their dad in prison. Or a mom who gave birth while incarcerated to be able to have a gift to send her baby with and to be able to have the money for the phone to make phone calls and keep in touch with her baby's caregiver until she's out of incarceration. We seek to keep people together. One night at that food pantry, I kind of snuck up behind a little girl who was holding a doll, and she was just singing. And this was the song. It wasn't a song that I never needed to sing to my dolls, but she did. She was singing, don't worry, honey. Mommy will get some food. Mommy will get some food. Don't worry, honey. Your support helps us give food to the mommies of 200 households that come every week to Ministry on the Margins. That directs a difference. And a final voice of the child comes from a young woman who's been homeless and addicted for years. But she came into the coffee house that we have open one night, and she just said, "Sister, did your mom ever say a night prayer with you?" I said, "Yeah." "My mom did too. Do you think you can remember one for me?" And we said a night prayer. Your support for Ministry on the Margins helps us to welcome an average of 45 people every night into the coffee house. Last night, the night before, people that were once all children and sometimes want to have someone say a night prayer from their childhood with them. That's the voice of the child, remembering that every person who's in the paper that's been arrested, every man or woman that you see on the street that is homeless and addicted and struggling with mental illness was a child and has probably a mother scared for him, and maybe has his own family and children. We have to always keep that voice open. Your support helps us to do that emphasis. But here's the second voice from Romans. The voice of the outsider, the Gentile, the uncircumcised, the losers, those people. Paul said it this way in the letter to Romans: "Welcome one another as Christ welcomed you." At the door of Ministry on the Margins, we have the rule of Benedict that says, "Let all be received as Christ." And we have Sister Kathleen, who just plain says, "You can be drunk, addicted, suffering mental health illness, carrying any label from the past. You just can't be a jerk." That's who we need to be as churches. I learned that from my man, Tez. Cortez is a man who's in the state penitentiary. And I was talking about churches one night, and I said, "Tez, you're from South Chicago. You guys are filled with churches." Tez said, "I've never been in them." I said, "What do you mean? Big churches, small churches, storefront churches?" He said, "Yeah, sister, I've been in the basements. That's where they have the soup kitchens and stuff. I never knew they wanted us upstairs." I said, "Oh, Cortez, you come talk to the U.S. bishops with me." Yeah. But where do we do that? Your support, here's what your support does. It not only allows us to bring church into the walls 5 times a week at the state pen, but it allows us to take church out to the street. Reverend Zan Ness and I, sadly but blessedly, have been out on the street 3 times in the past year with memorial services. 4 people who have died, where they have died, and among the other homeless people that they have lived. Friday, we're having a memorial service at the ministry. All I can say is, our addiction issues and drugs not only kill individuals, but they kill the hearts and the spirits of those who love them. That's the messy part. Our street outreach is out 2 days a week, bringing food, bringing hot coffee, cold water, and even bringing mail. Ministry on the Margins has 90 people that we receive mail for, so that they have a connection spot. But always bringing that connection to people, coming into the jail, sitting at their side at the courthouse, going to a parole office with somebody who's not used to having anybody at their side. That's the outcast. Helping people to have The reality that you and I have, we offer haircuts, eye clinic, athletic training students that work on posture, and hand and foot care. A couple of weeks ago, I popped in for a mani-pedi. And there I was, and I was having a pedicure. My feet were as clean as if I was preparing to have them washed at the Holy Thursday liturgy. And you know how you scrub up for that. But next to me was Janet. And Janet is a person of the streets. And so her feet are used to walking in calluses and non-fitting shoes. But she, for that moment, was treated as royalty. And next to Janet was Danny, who is missing most of his toes from frostbite last winter. Your support is the reason that Ministry on the Margins can offer services that accept each person from these different outsides, because before each of us, we had a University of Mary nursing student knelt down and treating us like royalty. It's all of that piece that helps a person be an anonymous voice from under a blanket one day that just kind of said to me, Sister, thank you. I said, for what? Just thank you. That's the voice of the outsider that knows that he or she can be welcomed in. You've made that possible. Which finally moves us to the gospel voice, the voice of the prophet, John the Baptist. I love Scripture's description of him. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist. He was probably pretty unshowered and unkempt, and he was eating weird food, honey and locusts, or discarded fast food from out of the garbage. People reacted the same way, repulsed by him. Here in Bismarck, we've seen him walking the streets of Bismarck. Maybe pants are not up, but that even up to the waist. They're just hanging there, unkempt, eating that food, you know, under the name of Nicholas or Daniel or Melissa. That's the prophet that's got to break our heart. Or Israel. Israel came into Ministry on the Margins coffee house one night, inebriated majorly. And he said, oh, sister, my name's Israel. That's the holy people, but look at me. What does God want of me? Sister, my name's Israel. That's the chosen people, but look at me. What does God want of me? People are getting a little agitated. Sister! I said, Israel, what? God wants you to go to sleep and talk to him in the morning. Okay, he said, and he did. What does God want us to say to the prophets that we see that disturb us? God wants us to hear those voices, crying out in the desert, crying out in the blizzard, to allow ourselves to be made low, to be broken open, and to be passionate. God really wants us to prepare the way of the Lord, making straight paths, filling in valleys, straightening the roads, offering the haircuts, giving the food, creating spaces of safety and rest, overcoming all the barriers to dignity, doing whatever we can so that the flesh can see the glory of the Lord. We do whatever we can. We do it together. That's why it's so good to be here to say thank you. we support one another as partners in prayer, in finances, in action, in kindness. We need to be transformed that way ourselves by listening. We need to be astonished. I say, be astonished by the boldness of your own life. John the Baptist reminds us that it's not so much about well-crafted policy and position statements. It's about simply, easily getting down and dirty and with people who are the voices of the prophets among us. We need to choose to risk, probably to suffer, but we can only do it together, and we need to do it in the Spirit of God. A world starving for good news cannot have anything less than us folks. And that's why, again, I come and say, friends, partners of Trinity Lutheran Church, the people of the city need you. Ministry on the margins needs you. I need you to help us meet the challenges of today. People need us. And on behalf of those nameless voices under the blankets, or the names that I gave you in the stories of my life, in the ministry, I get to say thank you. Thank you for being partners with us in prayer, in finances, in support, and in kindness. Thank you.